This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
If you sin, no matter how many times you sin, never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah. As long as you are breathing, that breath is a reminder to you that, O servant of Allah, you still have a chance to redeem yourself. You have a Lord who is waiting to forgive you. You have nothing to lose. No matter how many years you've spent sinning, no matter how bad the recurrence of the sin is, turn to Allah. Ask from Allah and have good hope in Allah that Allah has forgiven you. That if you were to die moments after seeking that forgiveness, Allah will not ask you about it on the day of
In Surah Al-Fatiha, you say, Surat Al-Ladina An'amta Alayhim. That guide us to the path of those who you have favored, Ya Allah. But then the question remains, who are those whom you have favored, Ya Allah? The answer to that question is in Surah An-Nisa, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Can you see the connection? Four groups. This is the answer to our question. Ya Allah, who are the favored ones? Allah tells us in Surah An-Nisa who they are.
Salamu alayhi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. MashaAllah. One of the verses we heard today was وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّهَا. That if you are greeted with a greeting, then your response to the greeting should be equal to it or better. So since we are in the month of Al-Quran, and it's a month of implementing the Quran, let's try that salam again. Salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. MashaAllah. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. The Quran is not only a book to be read, but a book to be implemented. I thought I used this as a segue. When I heard the verse, I said it's a good starting point for today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, just like this, a third of Ramadan has come to an end. Not a third. Just checking who's listening. A tenth. But very soon we will say a third. A tenth of Ramadan has come to an end. We've completed 3 full nights and 3 full days, and we have commenced with our 4th night. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept what has passed of our month and to bless what remains. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Given our program this Ramadan in Darus Salam Education Center, whereby we will be completing the Qur'an, insha'Allah, on the 29th night in the Taraweeh prayer, so that those who can't make it for the Qiyam, at least they get to complete the Qur'an in the Taraweeh. This plan denotes that we began Surah An-Nisa this evening. And yesterday we completed Surah Al-Imran. We began Surah An-Nisa, we didn't complete Surah An-Nisa. We have a small portion left, about a quarter of a juz left to complete Surah An-Nisa, or a little bit less than a quarter. So we will complete it tomorrow. Surah An-Nisa, like Surah Al-Imran and Surah Al-Baqarah, it is a Madani Surah. And by now you know what a Madani Surah means. It is a surah that was revealed after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina. And it is a surah consisting of 176 verses. And it is the 4th surah in the Quran, and one of the surahs that are part of As-Sab' At-Tiwal, meaning the 7 long surahs in the Quran. Surah An-Nisa, like its predecessors, meaning the surahs before it, has a connection to the surahs before it. When the Imam was reading today, there was a connection between it and Surah Al-Fatiha. Because in Surah Al-Fatiha, you say, Surat Al-Ladina An'amta Alayhim. That guide us to the path of those who you have favored, Ya Allah. But then the question remains,
Who are those whom you have favored, Ya Allah? The answer to that question is in Surah An-Nisa. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنَّعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنَّعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Can you see the connection? مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Four groups. Four groups. This is the answer to our question. Ya Allah, who are the favored ones? Allah tells us in Surah An-Nisa who they are. They are the prophets and the messengers. Nabiyyina, wassiddiqeen, the truthful ones. Those who accepted the deen upon truth. With truthfulness, with sincerity. Washuhada, the martyrs. And may Allah accept the martyrs of the ummah, especially those from Gaza. Wassalihin, and the righteous. Allah says, وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Why are you asking Him in every unit of every salah for Allah to favor you like He favored those whom He favored? Allah says they are the best company. The one who has their company, then you are in the best company. It is also connected to Surah Al-Baqarah. And it is connected to Surah Al-Imran. In terms of Surah Al-Imran, Al-Imran ended with a command to the believers towards taqwa. And immediately Surah An-Nisa opens with a command to all of mankind towards taqwa as well. At the end of Surah Al-Imran, Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. Right? Allah addresses the believers. He commands, Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu wa taqullah. Allah addresses the believers and He tells them to be patient and persistent and stationed, as we discussed yesterday. And then He said, and fear Allah, meaning be righteous, be upon the do's and stay away from the don'ts. And we are in a month of taqwa. It's important that we know what this term taqwa means. Taqwa, as Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentions, rahimahullah, in his explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, Fath al-Bari, huwa an taj'ala baynaka wa bayna 'adhabillahi wiqaya. It is for a believer to build and place between themselves and the punishment of Allah a wiqaya. A wiqaya refers to a barrier between you and the punishment of Allah. At the end of Surah Al-Imran, Allah says, Wattaqullah. Be a people who have erected this barrier between you and Allah's punishment. How? By being upon the do's and staying away from the don'ts. And that's why one of the translations of taqwa is righteousness. Because you are righteous when you remain upon the do's. And you are righteous when you stay away from the don'ts. At the opening of Surah An-Nisa, Allah widens the instruction. At the end of Al-Imran, He's addressing the believers. At the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, He's addressing mankind. And He's asking mankind to develop this barrier. That for those who are disbelievers, enter into Islam. And for those who are Muslims, remain upon the path of righteousness. So this is the connection between the two. In terms of Surah An-Nisa and Al-Baqarah, then we see, subhanallah, and for those who are paying attention, that An-Nisa had a different vibe for a good portion of the surah than Surah Al-Imran. It had a similar vibe to Surah Al-Baqarah. Why? We see a thunderstorm, a downpour of legislation, of tashri' being revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa. Much of what Sheikh Suhaib was reading in his portion was all legislation. And in the hadith of Hudhayfa in Sahih Muslim, connecting An-Nisa to Baqarah, he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he stood the night in prayer, and he started reciting Surah Al-Baqarah, and then Surah An-Nisa, and then Surah Al-Imran in that order. He went from Baqarah to An-Nisa, and An-Nisa to Al-Imran. So this is the connection between the two. Also, connecting between the two surahs, in terms of An-Nisa and Al-Imran, yesterday we said that there were many verses, about 60 verses in Surah Al-Imran that were dedicated to the Battle of Uhud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in Surah An-Nisa a verse connected to the battle, but not the battle itself, a portion after the battle, the portion that is connected to Hamra al-Asad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in An-Nisa, فَمَا لَكُمْ فِي الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِئَتَيْنِ وَاللَّهُ أَرْكَسَهُمْ بِمَا كَسَبُوا. That what is the matter with you that you are two groups concerning the hypocrites, while Allah has made them fall back into error and disbelief for what?
they earned. This particular verse is connected to the battle itself, I beg your pardon. Because one of the tafsirs of the scholars is that this particular verse refers to those who left the battle of Uhud before the battle began. A third of the Muslim army departed and went back to Medina. And they were the hypocrites. And they said that our mashwara, our consultation, was to face the Quraysh from within Medina. It was the young, vibrant ones from the Sahaba who wanted to go out. And we see ourselves walking into a death trap. So they left and went back to Al-Madinah. And after Uhud, when the Muslims suffered the losses, and they went back to Medina, and the news broke of how many losses the Muslims experienced, and the great Sahaba that were left buried at Uhud, they continued to pour fuel to the hurt that the Muslims naturally felt. And they said, لو أطاعونا ما قتلوا, that if they listened to us, they wouldn't have died. This was their message. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed and said to them, try and deter death from affecting you when your time to die comes. That those who died, it was their time to die. And in terms of Surah Al-Imran, we heard this. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا. This was last night's recitation. Last night. That it wasn't for a soul to die, except that it died in a reality that was decreed and written 50,000 years before Allah created the heavens and the earth. Those who died, it was their time to die. It was decreed 50,000 years before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth. But in terms of Hamra al-Asad that I spoke to you about earlier, this was an event after. That after the Muslims went back to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a call that only those who fought with us in Uhud, we will go out and follow the Quraysh back to Mecca. Subhanallah. Nobody else but those who participated. We don't want any fresh legs. We don't want any fresh people. We want those who were wounded physically, emotionally, walk out, and we're going to follow them to Mecca. And it happened. For the Quraysh to look back, having thought that they won the battle, to see a wounded, injured people, subhanAllah, following them. A people who they thought they defeated, for them to be mentally defeated. And when the Quraysh see that, subhanAllah, we thought they defeated them, but here they are following us back to Mecca, a battle didn't take place. But it's considered to be a battle because it was part of the battle of Uhud. It was the mental battle. That the Quraysh would go back to Mecca with question marks in their head that, subhanAllah, they buried 70, but did we defeat them? They were injured, they were bleeding, and they walked with blood and pus coming out of their wounds following us. Who are these people? I say Allah revealed, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. This is a verse of glad tidings to the Ummah in Al Imran. وَلَا تَهِنُوا, do not be weakened. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, do not be saddened for those who you lost. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ, you will rise over and will not be risen over. إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ, if you hold steadfast to Iman and belief. We see in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 104, وَلَا تَهِنُوا فِي ابْتِغَاءِ الْقَوْمِ إِن تَكُونُوا تَأْلَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَأْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَأْلَمُونَ. But وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَرْجُونَ. There's a difference between you and them. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. In terms of this Hamra al-Asad, we see a verse connecting An-Nisa to Al-Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to the believers, do not weaken in pursuit of the enemy. This refers to Hamra al-Asad, when the Prophet only called the injured to come out with him. Those who participated yesterday, we are going out. Allah revealed, do not weaken in pursuit of the enemy. If you are suffering, and you should be suffering, they are also suffering, just as you are suffering. But the difference between you and them is you expect from Allah that which they do not expect. You expect Jannah and the Akhirah and so on and so forth. And this is the mandate of the believers, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. That when it comes to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's always going to be a level, I don't like to use the word sacrifice, but a level of application. A sacrifice gives the impression like we're giving ourselves up without any gain. Wakalla, we know this is not true. Whenever you give some of your wealth and some of your time for Allah, there's only gain. Allah multiplies it and gives it back to you. He doesn't need you to be Allah. His majesty is from ever, and His majesty is forever. There's always going to be a level of application, not sacrifice, that is needed from us. In the Taraweeh, we have to stand. And sometimes we feel, maybe the Imam could have shortened it here. Maybe the Imam could have read a shorter witr, which we saw today. But aren't you standing لِأَنَّكَ تَرُجُوا مِنَ اللَّهِ? Are you not standing because you want from Allah what others don't want? Where are you going to? You're leaving Allah to go to the dunya? In 1 month out of 12 months? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our affairs. Na'am. We want to grow from the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or if we continue with our journey, connecting these surahs together, we find in Surah An-Nisa further challenges to the narratives of the Christians. And we discussed this yesterday. There was a lot of challenges to the narratives in Surah Al-Imran. And at the end of Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, Ya أهل الكتاب لا تغلوا في دينكم ولا تقولوا على الله إلا الحق إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه فآمنوا بالله ورسله ولا تقولوا ثلاثة. Allah says, O people of the scripture, meaning the Christians, do not commit excessiveness in your religion and do not say about Allah except the truth. Jesus, the son of Mary, the Masih, the Messiah, was nothing but a messenger of Allah, and his word which he directed to Mary, Maryam alayhi salam, and a soul created at the command of Allah, a soul from Allah at his command. So believe in Allah and his messengers, and do not say Allah is three. There's no trinity. Intahu khayran lakum. If you desist from mentioning this trinity, it is better for you. إِنَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. Indeed, Allah is but one God. So we find this in the end of Surah An-Nisa. Now, this is in terms of the connectivity of Surah An-Nisa to the surahs that we've just heard and read over the past few nights of Ramadan. In terms of Surah An-Nisa itself, the Nisa in the Arabic language refers to women. Subhanallah. An entire chapter in the Quran named after women. And if the brothers are thinking, well, where's the chapter named Ar-Rijal? Well, we don't have that chapter. Chapter named after the men, we don't have it. But we have a chapter named after the women. And this is due to the volume of laws that Allah revealed about women in Surah An-Nisa. Now I have a question for you. Is there another surah in the Quran that is known by the same name as Surah An-Nisa? What do you guys think? Yes or no? Have you come across another surah that is called An-Nisa or similar to An-Nisa or has been dubbed to be An-Nisa? Surah, which surah? Surah At-Talaq. Surah At-Talaq is known as Surah An-Nisa. We have Al-Kubra and we have Al-Sughra. We have Al-Kubra, the larger Nisa, the larger Surah An-Nisa. That's the one that we read tonight. And we will complete tomorrow. And we have the smaller Surah An-Nisa, that is Surah At-Talaq, the laws about divorce, which you will hear inshallah towards the end of Ramadan. As for the composition of Surah An-Nisa, then as we listened to the Imams this evening, we were taught about, number one, the beginning of mankind. Where did mankind come from? Number two, the nuclear family. Number three, the larger family, meaning the interdependent relationships of the families with each other in what constitutes the makeup of an entire ummah. Then Surah An-Nisa branches out and expands on the core of a family, with its foundation being the female. And it speaks about her in her capacity as a daughter and her capacity as a wife. And then Allah moves on to discuss her financial position in a marriage, and that she enjoys by Allah's decree financial independence, even if she comes into the marriage being richer than her husband. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also disseminates into Surah An-Nisa her rights in a marriage, the rights of a wife over her husband. We find this in Surah An-Nisa. Then Allah goes on to discuss her mahar and the rights of her mahar, the marriage dowry, her financial rights, her broader financial rights in terms of her living, the adab, morals, manners, etiquettes towards her from her husband, matters pertaining to her inheritance, especially the inheritance from her father and her husband, the fiqh rules pertaining to marriage, the sanctity of the marriage contract, the particulars pertaining to the mahram,
and to the musahara, meaning the people she cannot marry permanently and those who she cannot marry temporarily. Then guidance on how to solve marital strife in case the marriage falls into turbulence. Also, Allah reveals about the responsibility of a husband towards his wife particularly and the home generally. All this we learnt about today in Surah An-Nisa. And if we can reduce all of what I've just said so far, we can say that a large chunk of Surah An-Nisa is dedicated to the obligation of being just, and write it in capital letters, J-U-S-T, the opposite of oppression. Just with those that you are responsible over, and those that are vulnerable, and those who are weakened because of circumstances that may afflict them that are beyond their control. These three groups, Surah An-Nisa covers, with the key and core message being justice. And in Sahih al-Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "You gain no victory or livelihood except through the blessings and du'as of those who are vulnerable and those who are dependent on you." Meaning, if Allah has made a people dependent on you and you are just with them, that will be the core means of your blessings in your life, because Allah will bless you from the heavens, and Allah will also bless you because of the du'as that those who you are responsible over, because of their du'as for you. He said this sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, he said, "Oh Allah, I declare sacred the rights of the two dependent ones, the orphans and the women." And Allah discusses the orphans and the women in Surah An-Nisa. So these blessings and du'as are generated from being just. And subhanallah, we can appreciate why an entire surah is named after women, because they are the most susceptible to oppression in society. And in Jahiliyyah, they were not treated as human beings, but rather they were treated as a commodity. In fact, they experienced being buried alive. When a person was given glad tidings that he had a child, and then he found out that it was a daughter, Allah describes his face as a face that became blackened out of shame. This is how women were seen. So no one should teach the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam about women rights, because the bastion of women rights indeed is the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no revelation before the Quran that has an entire surah named the chapter of the women. Subhanallah. Now, this is a good segue to unpackage for you all the different groups of vulnerable people we find mentioned in Surah An-Nisa. Vulnerable groups, weakened groups because of circumstance, groups that are open to be oppressed. And if we listen carefully today, we would have deduced 20 categories. I'm going to take you very quickly, inshallah. 20 categories that Allah teaches us, that live amidst us, that face vulnerability or weakness. Sometimes due to personal circumstances, sometimes due to circumstances beyond their control, or sometimes due to the oppression of other people towards them. Let's go through them very quickly. Firstly, of course, women. And we see this in the name of the surah and the opening verse of the surah, where Allah says she was created from him. And then in verse number 4, Allah says, وَآتُوا النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَ, and give the women upon their marriage their bridal gifts graciously, meaning their mahr. And then Allah says, فَإِن طِبْنَ لَكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ نَفْسًا, but only if them, from themselves, by themselves, without any emotional blackmail, without any peer pressure, without any pressure from the custom, they themselves go to their husband and say, "My dear husband, this mahr that you gave me, I gift it back to you." Allah says, only then, فَكُلُوهُ هَنِئًا مَرِئًا, then take that wealth and spend it with satisfaction and ease. And the scholars of Islam, of both fiqh and tafsir, they say the most blessed wealth ever to be spent is the wealth that a wife gives to her husband that was her mahr, out of the happiness and pleasure of her heart. I cannot say this enough, because nobody should go home today and, you know, show the nice side of your face to your wife, or wink a little bit and say, "You know, you had the khutbah today, you had the lecture, huh?" There's no hinting. It should be something purely from them, with no pushing or prodding. If they give this wealth back to the husband, then Allah says, spend this wealth with satisfaction and happiness. And the scholars say this is the most blessed wealth. What you buy with it will be the most blessed purchase, the most blessed transaction and safqa. So the women, that's number one. Number two, the male and female orphan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals very early on to protect their financial rights, warning the guardians who are holding their wealth that fear Allah with regards to their wealth. Allah says, وَآتُوا الْيَتَامَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ وَلَا تَتَبَدَّلُوا الْخَبِيثَ بِالطَّيِّبِ. And give to the orphans their properties, and do not substitute the defective from your own wealth for the good of theirs. That now you see they're coming of age, I have to give them their wealth. So you look at your wealth, you take what is cheap and you swap it with that which is better from their wealth. And then you go to them and hand it over to them. They're innocent, they were young, they don't know the contents of the inheritance and that which was left for them by their fathers or their mothers before they passed away. So this is a warning to the guardians to look after them. Orphans are susceptible to oppression. So that's the second group. The third group, those who are from the weak-minded. Don't set them up for failure. Rather, set them up for success. Not just weak-minded as well. Those who lack the necessary maturity. They are vulnerable. Allah reveals this in Surah An-Nisa. Allah says, وَلَا تُؤْتُ السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا وَرُزُقُوهُمْ فِيهَا وَاكْسُوهُمْ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Allah says, and do not give the weak-minded your property, which Allah has made a means of your sustenance for you. But provide with it and clothe them, and speak to them words of appropriate kindness. Meaning, don't give money to a people that won't know how to use it effectively. If they haven't reached the level of maturity, then buy for them their needs, rather than giving them the money and the money goes without them having covered themselves for their needs. Meaning, don't set them up for failure, set them up for success. This is one verse. Allah says in another verse about the wealth of the orphans, وَابْتَلُوا الْيَتَامَى حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحَ. Test the orphans until they reach the age of puberty. Meaning, give them small amounts of money or give them scenarios, take them with you, under your watchful eye, allow them to engage in a transaction. Test the ability, how they transact, how they understand cost, how they understand value, until they reach the age of puberty. فَإِنْ آنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا. When they get to the age of puberty, they have a right to their wealth. But only hand over their wealth to them if you see that they have mental maturity, financial maturity. If you see that they have that maturity, then immediately pay their money to them. Give them their wealth. But until then, hold the wealth and be calculated. Compute how you manage their funds. Why? Do not set them up for failure. They can be vulnerable. They're susceptible. If they don't have that financial maturity, they will go into the marketplace and be cheated. Allah reveals about them in Surah An-Nisa. That's the third group. The fourth group, look after the rights of the heirs. Those who inherit, especially those who can be taken advantage of. Allah says, وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. And let those, the executors of the will, those who execute and the guardians of the will, let them fear any form of injustice regarding the weak, the vulnerable, from those who have a right to the inheritance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let them fear Allah and let them ensure that they speak appropriate words, words that are just. That you mean what you say and you say what you mean. You mean what you speak and you speak what you mean. You don't speak to them in a way with double barrel meanings to try and con them and cheat them, to try and put them in a confusion. And then when this goes to the qadi, it goes to the judge, in case it does end up being a dispute, you have leeway in terms of your words, the play on words, the gymnastics that you used in your language to try and save yourself from the consequences of your behavior. Allah says, be just and speak qawlan sadida. Messages, sentences, words that are very clear. So Allah looks after their rights as well. That's number four. Number five, the sinners. Because the sinners are vulnerable as well. And the sinner puts themselves in a vulnerable situation and circumstance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in many places in Surah An-Nisa, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهَ يَجْدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah looks after the vulnerable sinner to say, you've sinned, but don't let shaitan take advantage of you.
Don't let shaitan make you feel that you don't have any hope. Don't let shaitan take you from sin to a greater sin, which is disbelief. Allah says that whoever does a sin, wrongs themselves, but then seeks forgiveness from Allah, they will find Allah forgiving and merciful. Allah says, وَمَن يَكْسِبْ إِثْمًا فَإِنَّمَا يَكْسِبُهُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. And whoever commits a sin, only earns it against himself. And Allah is ever knowing and wise. Look at the balance that Allah puts a person in. Because there's two vulnerabilities here. The one where you have too much hope in Allah's forgiveness and mercy, so you sin without guilt. And the other one whereby you fear Allah's punishment so much, so you lose hope in His mercy and you go deeper and deeper into sin until you enter disbelief. Allah sends two verses to look after the vulnerability of the one who sins, to keep them balanced. That you've wronged yourself, but don't allow your nafs to take you astray, and don't allow shaitan to take you astray. Surah An-Nisa has guidance for you. And in the case of a sinner projecting their sin onto other people, because the other party is weaker, Allah says, وَمَنْ يَكْسِبْ خَطِيئَةً أَوْ إِثْمًا ثُمَّ يَرْمِ بِهِ بَرِيئًا فَقَدْ احْتَمَلَ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. That whoever earns an offense or a sin and then blames another person for it to try and free themselves from the punishment. That's what we do. They try and cook up evidence and project it onto someone else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of that someone else, because that person is vulnerable because of the work and plot of this person. Allah says, whoever earns an offense or a sin and then blames it on an innocent person has taken upon himself a slander and a manifest sin. Group number six, the one who leaves striving in Allah's way out of fear. Allah empowers this person. The one who is scared to go out in the path of Allah, they become vulnerable. They make their iman vulnerable. They open a door to shaitan. Allah reveals, فَلْيُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يَشْرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا بِالْآخِرَةِ وَمَنْ يُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيُقْتَلْ أَوْ يَغْلِبْ فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah says, so let those who fight in the cause of Allah, who sell the life of this world for the year after, and he who fights in the cause of Allah, who is killed and achieves victory, Allah promises to give this person a greater reward. The reward of the Akhirah, the reward of Jannah. So the one who fears fighting in the path of Allah is vulnerable to the attacks of shaitan, is vulnerable to the attacks of the hypocrites. Allah reveals verses to protect this vulnerable person. That, O servant of Allah, don't fear fighting in the path of Allah. Rather fear losing the prize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Don't fear giving up a bit of yourself for the sake of Allah, but rather fear losing the reward and prize that Allah has for you. At the end of the day, what you seek will come to an end. This world is destined to be crumbled and folded and brought to an end. And the only thing that remains is the Akhirah and your baqiyatu salihat, that which you do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Group number seven. Those who have rights over us. Allah says, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. There's many people around us who have rights over us. Allah reveals they're vulnerable because they're dependent on you. Do not oppress these parties. Allah says, worship Allah. And do not associate partners with him. And be excellent to your parents and to your relatives and to the orphans and the needy and the neighbor and the neighbor that's closest to you and the neighbor that's further away. And the companion at your side, even if it's the companion at your side in salah, as the scholars of fiqh say. They have a right over you. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever eats the onion, do not come close, don't come to our musalla. If you're standing with a smell that is going to harm your neighbor, the person standing next to you, that person has a right that you don't make him feel uncomfortable in his position in his salah. These are rights. People are vulnerable from our actions and our behaviors, our tongue and our hands and our actions. Allah reveals this about all those people who are vulnerable because of us, because they have rights over us. We see this in Surah An-Nisa. Group number eight, mankind. For they are a weak creation, and all of mankind is dependent on Allah. Allah says, in protecting mankind, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. Right at the beginning of the fifth juz, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Allah says, Allah has created mankind weak, and Allah wants to lighten for you your load. Allah has revealed the sharia in a manner that is palatable, in a manner that is manageable. Why? Allah knows you vulnerable in front of His commands. And Allah wants to set you up for success, not for failure. So, step by step, baby steps. Try your best, burn in, don't burn out. Allah reveals this in Surah An-Nisa. Group number 9, the weaker party in a financial transaction. Sometimes we transact with people and by default, by necessity of the transaction, they are the weaker party because they are more in need of what we have than we are in need of what they have. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً أَن تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ. That, O you who have believed, do not consume one another's wealth unjustly, but only in a lawful business transaction that is based on mutual consent. No force. No one feels forced to give up their right to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in their position, their possession. Right? So Allah reveals this to look after the weaker party in a financial transaction. How many have we done? 9. Group number 10, the poor and the needy. Allah says, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. The verse that we recited earlier. Worship Allah and associate nothing with Him. And in there Allah mentions, and look after the rights of the poor and the needy, especially with your zakah. It is their right. When you hold that wealth for 12 months, lunar months, you are holding somebody else's money in your account. Do not see it as money that is yours that you have to sacrifice. It's not yours. Somebody else has a right to it. You are withholding somebody else's right. That portion in your account is the right of the recipient of zakah. Look after the right of the vulnerable. They cannot come and take from your account, but that is their money in your account. They are vulnerable because of you. They are dependent upon you doing the necessary regarding taking care of the obligation that Allah has placed upon you. Allah looks after their rights. Group number 11, the new Muslim. Subhanallah. Surah An-Nisa leaves nobody out. The new Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals verses and we see, for example, the verses about alcohol and how Allah made alcohol haram. He did it in stages. And the scholars deduce from this التدرج في التشريع, that legislation happens in stages, slowly but surely, whereby you allow people to burn in, as I said earlier. When Allah made alcohol haram, He made it haram in stages. And in Surah An-Nisa, Allah revealed one of those stages, that, O you who believe, do not go to the prayer whilst you are drunk. Right, so now you have to pray 5 times a day. And you cannot go to the prayer whilst you're intoxicated. What's going to happen? Naturally, you're going to reduce your alcohol consumption. And that reduction is going to lead to you being weaned off any connectivity or connection to it. In time for when Allah reveals, فَاجْتَنِبُوا, stay away from it. إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ, as we will listen in the ayat and verses coming up, inshallah, in the upcoming nights. Group number 12, the Muslims at the time when the enemy is strong over them. Sometimes you're in a situation where your enemy is strong over you. You're vulnerable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed guidance for the Muslims of Mecca when they were being persecuted by the Quraysh. Allah said, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ قِيلَ لَهُمْ كُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. Allah says, do you not know of, have you not seen the people, meaning the believers in the Meccan period, the believers, when they were weak and the enemy was strong? And we reveal to them, put down your weapons and be patient and observe the salah and give the zakah. That's what you should do. This is guidance from Allah to protect the vulnerable situation of the person who's weak in front of a stronger enemy. Group number 13, those who are weak in knowledge and understanding. Allah reveals a solution, and that solution is to avoid oppressing themselves by seeking knowledge. Allah says, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ. When there comes to them information about public security or fear, they spread it around out of panic. But Allah then reveals the solution. He says, but if they had referred it back to the messenger or to those of knowledge amongst them, from the knowledgeable members of the Sahaba, Allah says, then the ones who could deduce the knowledge from the verses and laws of Allah would have known the answer to their dilemma, would have known the reality of what needs to be done and what should be avoided. Allah says, and if not for the favor of Allah upon you and His mercy, you would have followed shaitan except a few people. So Allah teaches us in this verse that you are vulnerable when you are ignorant. And the solution is to seek knowledge. Allah tells them, why don't you go back to the Rasul and the people of knowledge? In this day and age, the Rasul has passed away. The inheritors of the messenger are who? The scholars. We go to the scholars and we ask. Many a time, we do things without asking. We pull the trigger, then we call the sheikh. Sheikh, this is what I did. Sheikh, there's so many years that my zakah hasn't been paid. Sheikh, you know, in the inheritance, this is how I distributed it. But why didn't you ask before you did it? Before you made the situation more complicated. You know, there was this cryptocurrency that came out, or there was this token that came out, immediately I invested. Why did you invest before asking? Well, you know, there was a hype, FOMO, fear of missing out. FOMO, that's what they say. So I went into it. This is guidance. You are vulnerable. Allah is telling you what to do. If you only went to the people of knowledge, they would have told you what to do and what not to do, and you would be safe in terms of your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Group number 14, those who are unable to go out in the path of Allah due to a disability. They are vulnerable to shaitan's attacks that look others are doing for Allah and you not. Allah reveals to them that they are justly excused. لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين غير أولي الضرر والمجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم. Allah says, not equal are those believers remaining at home other than the disabled. Allah is revealing, those who stayed at home and didn't go fight, you're not the same. The ones who went out in the path of Allah, they're a level above those who stayed at home. But there's an exception. The exception is for those who were disabled. Group number 15, guidance for the one who is unable to stop evil. Subhanallah. Allah says, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَوْ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُ مَعَهُمْ. Sometimes we are in a situation where people are doing wrong and we can't stop it. Not with our tongue, not with our hand. What should we do? We should make dua with our heart. That's number one. And number two, we should leave the gathering. Allah says, فَلَا تَقْعُدُ مَعَهُمْ. Allah says, and it has already come down to you in the book that when you hear the verses of Allah being recited, they are denied by them and they are ridiculed by them. Allah says, so do not sit with them until they enter into a different conversation. If you choose to sit with them whilst they ridicule the revelation of Allah and the teachings of His Rasul, إِنَّكُمْ إِذَا مِثْلَهُمْ. You are like them. You are the same like them. It happens in our gatherings. People are backbiting and you can't say anything, but you still sit. And you allow your ears to consume the backbiting that's happening. In the least, get up and leave. People will notice, right, that we had this conversation and this person left. That subhanAllah, maybe we did something wrong. Maybe we should ask them what happened. But we sit, and that sitting is a form of endorsement. Allah is revealing in Surah An-Nisa that Allah is watching you and the decision that you made and the seat that you took. And Allah is telling you that your sitting makes you like them. They were vulnerable, they made you vulnerable, and now you're all vulnerable. You're vulnerable because of the situation. The Quran has come to save you. Surah An-Nisa has come to strengthen you, has come to protect you from being oppressed, has come with justice to help you in your circumstance and your situation. May Allah grant us the understanding. Group number 16, the one who fears for their life. The Sharia justly relaxes the rules. And we see this in the verses related to Salatul Khawf that Hafidh Dhakir was reciting. And subhanAllah, one thing stood out for me in those verses. Because we're talking about a battle. The battle is happening and it's salah time and Allah is saying, pray. It's salah time, you have to pray. How should you pray? The whole situation, the rules changes for Salatul Khawf. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, وَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا. Subhanallah. Allah says, after you're in the battle, you've done the salah. Isn't the salah the remembrance of Allah? It is, right? After you finish remembering Allah with your salah, remember Allah some more. While standing, while sitting, whilst laying. La ilaha illallah. Dhikr, subhanallah, in the Quran is the only command, that is the only ibadah that Allah commands us to after an ibadah. He commands us to this ibadah after commanding us to an ibadah. And I was thinking about this, we have it somewhere else in the Quran, in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ. So you finish the Salat Al-Jumu'ah, and that Jumu'ah was the remembrance of Allah. فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Go out in the land, وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. And earn your sustenance, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهِ. And remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Engage in the ibadah of dhikr. This is the month of Ramadan. Let's keep our tongues moist with the dhikr of Allah. كَلِمَتَان حَبِيبَتَان إلى الرحمن ثقيلتان في الميزان خفيفتان على اللسان. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that there's two, يعني كلمتان, two words, light on the tongue, beloved to Allah, heavy on the scales. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. Simply. Subhanallah, just as you're walking, as you don't even need a breath for it. Subhanallah, it won't even take you out of breath. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Group number 17, the sickly. The Sharia justly excuses them. وَإِنْ كُنْتُ مَرْضَىٰ أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْ أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنَ الْغَائِطِ أَوْ لَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا. Allah tells about those who can't use water. Allah says, then you can use, you excuse from making wudu with water, you can do tayammum. Right? So we have this group also mentioned. Group number 18, the traveler. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. If you're a traveler, you're allowed to shorten the prayer. Here's the evidence for shortening the prayer when you're a traveler in Surah An-Nisa. Because when you're traveling, you're vulnerable. It's not like when you're a resident. Group number 19, the oppressed amongst the men and the women and the children. Allah says, وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ الظَّالِمِ أَهْلُهَا وَاجْعَلْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا وَاجْعَلْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ نَصِيرًا. And what is the matter with you that you fight not in the cause of Allah and for the oppressed amongst the men and the women and the children who say, our Lord, take us out of the city of oppressive people and appoint for us from yourself a protector and appoint for us from yourself a helper. Does it ring a bell? Who do you think is making this dua today? And today we debate small matters when we live at a time where we need to do everything in our capacity to help an oppressed people. The Rohingya are making this dua. The people of Kashmir are making this dua. The people of Gaza are making this dua. And the list goes on, O servants of Allah. And then we are debating matters when we're not even from the people of knowledge. Matters that are for the people of knowledge to discuss and give fatwa on. And we come and say, no, this is sunnah, this is not sunnah. To detract people from doing what they can to help a people who are making this cry. Allah is telling us they are vulnerable, they are oppressed. And Allah is looking at us at this time and in this manner. Yes, the people of Gaza are being tested, but wallahi, we are being tested as well. The people of Kashmir and the Rohingya are being tested. But billahi, we are being tested as well. By virtue of this verse, verse number 75 in Surah An-Nisa. Number 20, Al-Kalala. But we'll leave Al-Kalala for tomorrow because inshallah, we heard about Kalala today, but we'll also hear about Kalala tomorrow at the end of this particular surah. I know we took a bit longer today, but inshallah, it was worth it. We had Ashara Kamila and we had another Ashara Kamila. Huh? 2 by 10 equals 20. 20 vulnerable groups we learnt about in Surah An-Nisa in the recitation of our Huffaz tonight in Darus Salam Education Center. And wallahi, if you ponder over these 20 categories that I just mentioned to you, you will pull out from them at least 18 action points that you and I need to engage in. Because them being vulnerable needs action from us. But that's beyond the scope of our time together. I will leave you to ponder over it. Last but not least, included in the composition of the surah is the broader family discussion as we mentioned earlier. We said the nuclear family and the broader family, meaning the interdependent families of the ummah. That Allah says, O families of the ummah of Muhammad, you are connected interdependently. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions to us that these families or we need to be connected together with taqwa being the foundation of our connection. As we see at the beginning of the discussion. And then we see this recurring discussion on the qualities of the society throughout Surah An-Nisa. The qualities of a vibrant ummah, a vibrant society. The qualities of families that are interdependent like a well-oiled machine. I've summarized them for you in 4 takeaway points. Number 1, at-takaful, which we can translate as solidarity or mutual support. Number 2, at-tanasuh, which we can translate as advising and counseling. Number 3, at-tarahum, which we can translate as compassion or empathy. Number 4, at-ta'awun, which we translate as cooperation. Allah reveals in Surah An-Nisa how the Muslim families must work with each other. Those related by blood, but more importantly, those related by faith. The bond of faith is far greater than the bond of blood. As long as we are Muslims in a community, we are connected. And that connection needs to be upon the foundation of taqwa. And as for the gears of this connection, then it's solidarity, counseling, compassion, and cooperation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. At the end, I leave you with the words of Abdurrahman ibn Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the son of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the great companion, radiallahu anhu. And since we are in a month of hope,
he, subhanallah, deduced something unique from Surah An-Nisa. He said there are 5 verses in Surah An-Nisa. Because of these 5 verses, I am happy to be alive on earth. If it wasn't for these 5 verses, being alive on earth would be a great torment and test. No doubt it's still a test. But listen to the 5 verses. Number 1. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. He says the verse in which Allah said that Allah will not do injustice even if it is as much as an atom's weight. He says, Allah then says, وَإِن تَكُ حَسَنَةٌ يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِ مِن لَّدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah says, and whoever does good, Allah will multiply your good and give you more rewards than you deserve from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. He says, this is verse number 1 that makes me pleased to be alive. Verse number 2, Allah reveals, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرُ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. Allah says, if you avoid the major sins, Allah will forgive your minor sins for you and admit you into Jannah. If you avoid the major sins and you carry on doing your Salah and your Jumu'ah and your Umrah and your Ramadan, without you asking, Allah will forgive your minor sins for you. He says this verse, subhanallah, it makes living palatable. Because the major sins, okay, but the minor sins. But Allah revealed in Surah An-Nisa, leave the major sins, and without you asking, just pray your Salah, experience your Ramadans, experience your Umrahs. These are periods of expiation. Allah will wipe your minor sins for you without you needing to ask Allah. That's verse number 2. Verse number 3. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. He says, I read the verse in Surah An-Nisa that indeed Allah does not forgive anyone who associates partners with him, but he forgives what is less than that for whom he wills. He says, Alhamdulillah, I don't associate partners with Allah. I'm a believer. I said, La ilaha illallah and Muhammadur Rasulullah. So I only have hope with my Lord. That's verse number 3. Verse number 4. He says, Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن رَّسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. He says, I read in Surah An-Nisa, Allah saying, and we did not send any messenger except to be obeyed by the will of Allah. And if they wronged themselves, meaning the people, they had come to you, O Muhammad, after they wronged themselves, if they came to you, O Muhammad, and they asked the messenger to ask Allah to forgive them, Allah reveals, لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابَ الرَّحِيمَ. You will find Allah accepting of the repentance and merciful to them. And on the day of Qiyamah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will go to Allah and he will prostrate a prostration and he will praise Allah with words he's never known before. Allah will teach him special names of Allah on that day. And then Allah will tell Muhammad, Irfa ar-Asak, get up and ask and I will give you. And he's going to ask Allah for you and me, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says Allah revealed in Surah An-Nisa that when the messenger asks, Allah is saying, you will find Allah forgiving and merciful to you. What hope is this? That on the day of Qiyamah, when things are so scary, we know we have on our side, if we die upon Iman, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah revealed about him in Surah An-Nisa. Verse number 5. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهَ يَجْدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And whoever does a wrong or wrongs himself, but then seeks forgiveness of Allah, they will find Allah forgiving and merciful. That, oh you who believe, if you sin, no matter how many times you sin, never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah. As long as you are breathing, that breath is a reminder to you that, O servant of Allah, you still have a chance to redeem yourself. You have a Lord who is waiting to forgive you. You have nothing to lose. No matter how many years you've spent sinning, no matter how bad the recurrence of the sin is, turn to Allah. Ask from Allah and have good hope in Allah that Allah has forgiven you. That if you were to die moments after seeking that forgiveness, Allah will not ask you about it on the day of Qiyamah. 5 verses that the son of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, subhanallah, mentions from Surah An-Nisa, for which he says, it makes living palatable. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May He make us from the family of Surah An-Nisa and Al Imran and Al Baqarah and Al Fatiha. And may Allah bless us in Al Ma'idah, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. May Allah accept our Ramadan And may he bless what remains. وَجَزَاكُمُ خَيْرًا وَهَذَا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.